highly anticipated report on unexplained aerial phenomena is here, but the answers are not. U.S. government officials examined 144 reports of UAPs like these and still don't know what 143 of them were.
The existence of other intelligent beings would be kind of heartening, because it would kind of say that, humans can pull through it if other beings, other species, have done so as well.
A much-anticipated report on UFOs is due to arrive in the U.S. Congress this week.
America's men in black have till the end of the week to present an unclassified report on what they know about UFO sightings.
Something is in the air. Something is coming. In fact, that something is already here, and we are a lot closer to the end than we realize. Join us on this episode as we talk with Jeffrey Wingo, the author of The Alien Antichrist.
Watch the enemy. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of the women.
Welcome to this episode of The Soul Trap. Several years ago, as you may have known by now if you've been a listener to The Soul Trap, I came across a book called Alien Antichrist, and I'm reading right from the cover. The terrifying truth about UFOs and aliens, Antichrist in the end of days. Well, hey, I just call that good bedtime reading. I ordered the book and I started reading it, and immediately I knew that this author, though we may have a few differences along the way, this author was talking about something that I had been discovering on my own, and that you as Soul Trap listeners have probably likewise discovered on your own, that there is a connection between biblical prophecy, the end times, and the alien agenda that we see unfolding before our eyes. Well, a couple years ago, it seemed kind of far-fetched. The Soul Trap was down the rabbit hole, so to say. We were the guys with the tinfoil hats sitting out in the middle of nowhere talking about things that could never happen. But then 2020 came along, and all of a sudden, what could never happen has happened. The world has turned upside down. And I think one of the things that's been very interesting is that while our minds have been focused on Joe Biden...
Come on, man!
While our minds have been focused on the election trauma, and quite frankly, while our minds have been totally enraptured and focused on Corona, something under the surface has been percolating, and that is more and more we are seeing UFOs coming to the mainstream. The Tic Tac video, the gimbal video, all of the different types of videos that have been coming back and what has been or been coming out, and what has been most surprising has been the government's willingness to actually talk about it. Gone are the days of the Majestic 12. Gone are the days of the reports that were hidden and secret in Project Blue Book. All of a sudden, we have a government that seems fairly comfortable. And mind you, not politics, Pentagon. We have a government that seems fairly comfortable with talking about UFOs. And we are seeing more and more of them every day. And then what do you know? Our President Donald Trump, the last Trump, I'm sorry, I slipped up. President Trump starts a space force. We have a capital in Israel moved to Jerusalem. We have the United States government seeming to be comfortable talking about aliens. And we have a world prepped for receiving the mark of the beast and groaning for somebody to deliver it. I think we are right on the cusp. And I think one of the men that has a tremendous insight into what we're talking about, who has been on the Soul Trap many times before, and we look forward to having him many times in the future, is author Jeffrey Wingo, a Christian, a friend, and the author of a book you must have, Alien Antichrist. Mr. Wingo, we're glad to have you on the show once again. Thank you for being with us, and thank you for taking the time to teach us and to share these thoughts and ideas with us.
Joel, thank you for having me. I do appreciate your interest and your time to record something like this. It is very important. I believe we're on the cusp of possible alien disclosure from the United States government.
Okay, well, I'm going to pitch it right across the plate, and we're going to start with the fastball right there. What do we mean? Let's start one three-part question. What do we mean by alien? What do we mean by disclosure? And where does the U.S. government play a part in that?
Okay, what we're talking about with alien is a being that is supposed to be an extraterrestrial alien being from another planet in either our galaxy or supposedly another galaxy somewhere. And that's specifically what we talk about when we say alien. The United States government has known about these things, obviously, for years. I was reading something not long ago that said that they knew back in World War II when they were dealing with Foo Fighters and other phenomena like that, that they realized that they were dealing with a paranormal phenomena, something that they could not control, but something that they wanted to contact so that they could use that technology, or at least gain access to that kind of technology for the superior advantages that it would bring.
So when we're talking about alien, and I've been accused of this before many times, I know you have, you know, someone will say, you can't possibly believe in little green men from another planet. We're not talking about little green men. We're talking about, that might be the show. That's the sideshow that they put on. But we are talking about spiritual entities, sons of God, for lack of a better word, to use Genesis chapter number 6, spiritual entities that have been here on this planet before, may never really have totally left, and are now beginning to reveal themselves. But they're revealing themselves not with horses and chariots, but with spaceships, in a way that is palatable to modern man. And I don't want to put words in your mouth, but am I getting at the point there?
No, that's exactly what it is. They have been portrayed in popular culture as a spacecraft from another planet or a galaxy or some source in the universe somewhere. And these beings are usually portrayed, they often are portrayed as friendly, as spiritual, and benevolent beings coming to help mankind through all the things that we suffer through on this planet. But in reality, these beings have been here all along. They have been with mankind for thousands of years. Reports of fantastic things in the sky go back 2,000 to 3,000 years that we can find reports or cave drawings or other writings that have gone on over the years. And these beings are not extraterrestrial aliens as popular culture would like you to think they are. In truth, because we believe the Bible, and we believe that the Bible is God's truth, that He has presented as His truth, and at that point we have a choice. We're either going to believe His truth or we're not. And the Bible reveals that these beings are actually fallen angels, fallen beings. Satan has the power to masquerade himself as an angel of light, and he can change his outward appearance. And when we are judging these creatures, we don't judge them exactly by what they look like, but we judge them by their words, by the doctrine that they teach. But they have been here for thousands of years. The Bible reveals in Genesis chapter 6 that the sons of God came to the daughters of men, that those beings came and dwelt among men, creating the violent, sinful, depraved atmosphere that caused God to bring the flood on the earth. When God wiped the flood clean, and Noah and his family were the only people left, short time thereafter, I'm not sure exactly where, I don't really think anybody does know, my possible suspicion is they came back around the Tower of Babel, and they came back. There was a second incursion, and proof of that is in the scriptures. When Joshua and Moses were going to take the Holy Land, they saw the giants who were the sons of, who were the descendants of the sons of God, and they actually fought them. They actually destroyed many of them, Og and the king of Bashan, and several other of the ancient kings there that were the remnants of the giants, the Nephilim and the Rephaim. And these things were in the land of Canaan. And at that point, when Joshua and his armies overran them, many of them, I think, and there's proof of this, fled into what is now Europe and possibly even to the Americas. We see that in the megalithic monuments. I believe those monuments were created by these beings. And they are superior in body. They are giant. They are superior in intellect, And many of these ancient monuments are aligned with star patterns.
Let me ask you something real quick before we go to the second part of the question there. Okay. And I'm going to maybe dive in a little bit deeper. You talked about what they look like. It's very fascinating that there is an association with animals, humanity, spirituality in the Bible. Of course, you have an example would be like the dove and the Holy Spirit, or you have the power of the horse, or you have the lion of the tribe of Judah. It's interesting that the first time we see Satan in not Lucifer, but here on this earth in the sense, is in the form of a serpent. When you look at the animals represented by the cherub around the throne of God, the most obvious one that's missing is the reptilian amphibian type of animal. Of course, we know that Satan was the fifth cherub, the cherub that covereth. I'm referencing now David Icke, who is a very famous writer, but very much off in a lot of ways. But he really brought to the forefront years ago the idea of the reptilian quote-unquote shapeshifters, and all he did was really lift a lot of information out of ancient lore and ancient mysteries and that kind of thing like that. My question is this: if we are going to see disclosure, and if these sons of God arrive, what do you think they look like naturally, and what do you think they will display themselves as if and when they do reveal themselves here on earth?
I think it's possible that there could be many of them. There could be many different types of them. I think that some of them would probably look like human beings. I think that they would probably present themselves as very attractive, and humans would be attracted to them, not only by their looks, but because of their spiritual power. When Eve was confronted in the garden with the serpent, the word there is in Hebrew is nakash, and it means shining one. So I'm not sure, like many people are not sure whether this was a serpent form that Satan took, or whether this is what some of them could look like.
Yeah, as far as the Anunnaki, that's the same phrase. The bright and shining ones is what the term from the Sumerians, not to interrupt you, but that's what the Anunnaki mean, is the shining ones.
Right. And there's an interesting passage in Ezekiel chapter 8. And Ezekiel is in Babylon, and God in a vision transports him to Jerusalem and shows him a vision of the temple, and has him dig into the wall of the temple, and he goes in there and sees all kinds of imagery on the walls. And a lot of that imagery, if you look at the words there, a lot of that imagery is reptilian. And the elders of Israel were worshiping these beings. And another interesting fact is, and you'll find this in Amos and in Acts chapter 7, is that when the Israelites were in the wilderness for 40 years, evidently, the way that the text is written, they worshiped a star god.
Yes.
Now, this star god is related to the planet Saturn, which is unusually the sixth planet from the Earth. A sixth planet in our solar system. Mm-hmm. And Saturn also has a hexagon at its northern pole, and some people think that these beings came from there. That I'm not really sure of. Mm-hmm. I know about some of the work of David Icke. I'm not sure that I agree with him on a lot of these things, but the Bible does talk about this, that the elders of Israel were worshiping serpent-like beings. Mm-hmm. There's also a chance that when Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness and the Israelites were grumbling against God, God sent them fiery flying serpents among them, that it's possible that these beings may have been not snakes that we would imagine, natural snakes, but that these beings may have been spiritual entities that would bite or attack the Israelites. And God was trying to teach them by faith to look at the serpent, which is where their sin was going to be later placed on the cross.
interesting because you're going to see, you know, one of the things that's interesting about is in the Old Testament, specifically with the Exodus, you have the plagues very closely associated with what's going on during the tribulation period. You have a lot of markers where you have God feeding them with manna, and the same thing seems to be happening in Revelation chapter 12 and others where he's dealing with the remnant. And then if you think, I believe it's Revelation 9, I want to say, but if you look at Revelation 9, you have Apollyon and these beings coming out. You know, you have to wonder in your mind, is there a similar connection with what happened there with those serpents in the wilderness and then these beasts, these beings that will be released again on the earth? Very, very similar. I agree. I think when they show up, what you're going to see, I think you're going to see it look very much human-like, but I think in their natural state, there's some real play there. Okay, so let me come back to what we said. We asked alien, we're trying to define that. Obviously, we're not talking about little green men. We're talking about the sons of God. And I do think we have to be careful about limiting ourselves, because there's more out there, as Shakespeare would say, in heaven and in earth than is dreamt of in our philosophy. There's principalities, there's powers, there's beings. But these sons of God, they're coming back. They seem to be taking a form of modern, mechanized, the industrial man dealing with that. I guess the second question then comes in is, what does disclosure look like? Where do you think in the next, let's not go super far out, let's say the next 2, 3, 4 years, is there the possibility of disclosure, and what does that look like?
I think, first of all, Joel, that disclosure will be just the government or some person from the Pentagon spokesman revealing to the public that there is extraterrestrial life, and that they have been possibly in contact with these beings. I think they're first going to tell us that as they have been releasing UFO videos from the Navy, as we've seen the past few years, this is preparing the public for alien disclosure. The United States is just about the last nation on Earth to admit that alien life does exist. Surprisingly, not long ago, an Israeli general who is now retired came out and said that the United States and Israel have both been in contact with alien beings, and that some of them possibly do have, if I remember the article right, a reptilian appearance. Mm. And the surprising thing about this is, I think that when if they allow the American public and the world, of course, to see these beings, I think that they will probably look like human beings.
Yes,
they will probably be very attractive, and that is part of the subtle deception of this whole thing. When we do see these beings, and I believe that the Bible reveals that they will be here in the flesh, they will have real spiritual power to validate their claims, and this is part of the deception that's going to occur. I think it's going to, disclosure is going to take place first. Yes, we know they're here. Yes, we have these videos. We have more videos. They may release more. I'm not exactly sure. But whatever they release is going to be very controlled. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's going to be timed to prep the world to actually see these beings. It's almost like the book Childhood's End.
Yes, Arthur C. Clarke.
It's hard to believe that our wait is over, but it is. And it seems that the supervisor for Earth, Corellin, deems us ready to look him in the eye. And here we are at the designated...
I can't believe it's arrived. We're ready. Huh?
Yes, we are, Amy. Yes, we are.
Beautiful, balmy evening as the sun starts to set on the 200,000 excited spectators. Delegates from the World Federation are taking to the main podium. It's fair to say that everybody's breath is truly bated as we wait to meet our guardian angels. There's some disturbance in the sky. And
This is Corella. Let the children come forth.
The child greeters that Corellan asked for are now entering the arrival ramp.
Yes, Arthur C. Clarke wrote a very interesting book years ago called Childhood's End. And that book details how that alien beings will be coming to the Earth, and they won't show themselves at first, but their craft hover above the Earth for approximately 50 years. That is to prepare the people of Earth to receive these beings in the flesh. They will, you know, they will actually come here. When the craft comes down after 50 years and the alien being receives him or reveals himself to the people of Earth, interestingly, they have two children run into the craft, and these children lead this being out of the alien spacecraft. And when the being comes out, it's the exact picture of what we perceive as the devil, with horns, with wings that look like bat wings, right. With a tail. And the being is huge. He's a giant. And that right there, I don't know. I know that I don't think Clark was a Christian, but no. He had some foresight. And I don't know whether maybe he had a little spiritual insight from the other side. Mm-hmm. But that picture right there is something that we're talking about. It's actually a terrifying picture. But I think in reality, when these beings are revealed to the world, that they won't look like that. I think we're going to see beautiful, handsome beings, and they're going to reveal themselves, and they're going to be very attractive to human beings.
I think you're exactly right, because one of the things that's interesting when you do case study reports on abductions, there's obviously the grays and the greens, the ones that we're very familiar with, but when people are actually taken on board the ship, quote unquote, in their abduction experiences, one of the things that they always seem to report is that the actual beings behind the scenes that seem to be in charge are what are called the Nordics. They're extremely tall beings, pale, usually have blue eyes, very pale, almost shiny, very interesting word, shiny-like skin, with always long blonde hair, and there is an androgynous aspect to them. It's hard to tell which one are women and which one are men, but they are extremely tall, always blonde hair, always blue eye. Their skin is reported as being translucent, very, very shiny, and those are the ones that seem to be reported by abductees as being in charge. And so it's interesting, Mr. Wingo, when we talk about that, because that's exactly what you're saying. We're all familiar with the scary little green men, but if you do any real research into the case studies, what you find is that it is these quote-unquote Nordics that seem to be the ones that are in charge once the abduction actually takes place. And that seems to go right along with what you're talking about, these shining beings, whether it's the Anunnaki, whether it is the terminology that we were talking about in the Garden of Eden. It seems to be there. It's interesting you mentioned a minute ago about the breakout that took place again. You know, that whole land there, the land of Bashan, King Og of Bashan, it's very interesting that in Psalms chapter 22, the Messianic Psalms, when Jesus talks about the spiritual, or the writers talking about the spiritual attack that took place at Calvary, it mentions the bulls of Bashan have been upon me. It's very, very interesting. There's spiritual world warfare is going on, has been going on for a long time, and that disclosure is going to be shocking to the world. Let me tie into that and ask you then the third part of our original question. We've talked about what the aliens are. We've talked about, in a sense, what that disclosure is going to look like. And that's an interesting thought to think about, that we could see that for some years before they really reveal themselves. What do you think, if you had to guess, what do you think the level of governmental involvement is right now?
Well, Joel, our government has been involved with paranormal things for probably 50 to 60 years, as much as I know. And I find it interesting that I had an article here on my table just a minute ago. And that article states that when they were doing some of these experiments, and of course we've talked about this before in the other video, that they, when they were doing experiments with remote viewing and that kind of thing, they actually had manifestations in the laboratory on several occasions. Mm-hmm. And it almost drove some of the scientists insane because of the spiritual activity that was taking place. But I think that our government knows what they are. I think that they have been, because of the experiments that they've been doing with the occult, that many people at these levels have been exposed to spiritual phenomenon and are know exactly what this is. I find it interesting that the current disclosures taking place from To the Stars Academy and an individual there named Luis Elizondo, yes, who claims to have run a government Pentagon program, that he said one of the reasons why, and this was in the first unidentified series, I think it was next to last video in that series, he states that one of the reasons that he left that program was because there is an element in the Pentagon who he called fundamentalist Christians. Mm-hmm. And they tried to explain to him how dangerous that these things really are, that they are a spiritual phenomenon, and that he left because he thought that information was being limited to that. He doesn't like a Christian perspective, obviously. I certainly can't speak for him. Mm-hmm. But from what I gathered, from what I saw on that program, he didn't like it that there were some Christians in the Pentagon who evidently told him the truth about what these things are, and that caused him to back away and pull away from the program itself. And now he's in civilian life working with Tom DeLonge and To the Stars Academy.
Yeah, yeah. And so I agree. I think when you get to a certain level, a certain height, there is that connection. I mean, we've done podcast shows on the Gulf Six, the people that got involved in remote viewing. They went really off the deep end, ended up here in up in Pensacola, Florida area. We've done a lot of research about that, and I think you're exactly right. I think that there is a very high level, and to me it just seems like that the next step on this whole thing is going to be some kind of disclosure. Now we've got, you know, supposedly flying drones on Mars, and that's a whole nother subject for a whole nother time. I don't want to get into that, but I mean, it just seems like we're building. As you look back over, you know, we came out of the election. What has been surprising to you, maybe the last, over the last 100 days? I mean, I was just looking at the newspaper, the first 100 days of Joe Biden. I'm switching gears maybe just a little bit, but what has been fascinating to you about the first 100 days of the Biden presidency?
I got that $1.9 trillion relief so far.
Or the Harris presidency, depending on how you look at it. But
it was a debate.
What has been fascinating to you about the first 100 days, and how do you think that's tying in with the subject that we're talking about?
Well, Joel, a lot of people may not understand this, but one of the things that I find extremely disheartening is that they have removed all of the limitations on abortion. When President Donald Trump was the most life-friendly president that we've had in years, Biden has just thrown the doors open for funding abortion all the way around the world using taxpayer money to pay for it. I don't know whether people know this or not, but in ancient history, child sacrifice has always been associated with these beings. And it's disheartening to me and very tragic that more and more abortions are going to be taking place because of Biden's policies, that he's thrown the doors wide open for this. A lot of people are disturbed by it. But on a deeper level, I think that people should be aware that in ancient history, these beings, the gods, have always been associated with child sacrifice. Mm-hmm. And you even see that in the Bible, with King Solomon, who was supposed to be the, well, the text tells us he was a wise king. God initially gave him wisdom, but he later left that because of his wives, and they built altars to these various gods, and child sacrifice was always an intricate part of this. And I often wonder, at one point God appeared to Solomon. I wonder if later in his life, after they began this activity, that if another being or beings appeared to him. That I find very disturbing. Now, some people may not understand that, but the abortion aspect, very disturbing. I also
let me stay on that, if you don't, let me interrupt you a second. Sure. Let me stay on that thought for just a second, if you don't mind, because along with the doors being thrown open for abortion, I don't know. I know in my lifetime, which is not very old, but I would even say in my father's lifetime and in my grandfather's lifetime, I don't know that I have ever seen or could do any research that could show as high an uptick in pedophilia, in the sexual, how's the word I want to say, in the sexual using of children, even in just TV ads, in the sexualization of our young people. And I can't help but think that those two go side by side, the pedophilia, the abortion of children. And I tie that in. I think it was Hunter C. Thompson or Thomas or something like that who wrote the book Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Johnny Depp, I think, did a movie cover of it. And he talked about, you know, the idea that there was the adrenal glands, the pineal glands, that they would use those from dead people, and in some cases dead children, it's been reported of. I know that Mel Gibson made a very, very outlandish statement that talked about, I know that Corey Feldman made the statement that pedophilia is the number one thing in Hollywood. What do you think it is about that spiritually? Why is it the death, the sacrificial death of children, whether it be the Aztecs or it be under the god Moloch in the Old Testament, why is there such a predilection like that with children's sacrifice and perversion in that spirit world concept there?
Joel, this is depravity, the depravity of the human condition. These things are spiritually connected, because once you start down this path, and in my opinion, it, and a lot of people may disagree with this, but in my opinion, this began under Obama when they legalized sodomite marriage. And once they did that, the floodgates came open spiritually to a lot of things, because there is an ancient spirit that goes with this. This is not new activity.
Right.
In ancient times, these kinds of things went on, and in the ancient temples, that kind of activity went on, and it was often associated with pedophilia and child sacrifice. They are intricately connected. There is no doubt. You will see the progression in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32. Once we deny God, once human beings deny God, and he's given us the natural universe, and in our hearts we know that God is there, we know that there is a creator, but men suppress the truth. And once they go down that path, they begin worshiping not only themselves, but they begin worshiping animals, and surprisingly that reptilian image throughout the centuries keeps coming back up over and over again. And that's even in the Bible, in Ezekiel chapter 28. And in Romans chapter 1, it ends in human depravity with that kind of activity. That actually is a sign of the judgment of God.
I think you're exactly right. I think it, one of the things that we're seeing today is that we are seeing all of these streams coming in at one time. There never was a time in history when these streams did not exist, whether it be pedophilia or the corruption of politics or you know, the uprising of the great whore of Revelation 17 and Catholicism in all its mystery Babylon forms, or whether it simply be the setup of the sons of God. We've seen all these things. You can track them like a pinpoint all throughout history. What I think is very fascinating right now is that we're seeing all of these streams coming in at one time. All of them coming together and connecting like never before. And that's what I think puts us right up to the fact that we are right here at the end time. And I think, you know, you and I have talked about this before, and again, you know, this is for our full disclosure, our timeline on prophecy is a little bit different, but we're not that far. It's not like one's here and one's down here. I believe we're right on the cusp of the tribulation period. And of course, my own belief is that there will be a rapture. But I think that, and we talked about this the other day, you and I were talking, I was on my back porch talking with you on the phone. I think a lot of Christians in my stripe today, I think they fail to understand that although I believe the Bible teaches that there is a rapture from Jacob's trouble, there is not an exclusion or an exemption given to the body of Christ that we're just going to be drinking coffee and having a good time, and then all of a sudden Jesus comes and, whew, boy, we missed that one. It was close, but we got out of here. I think we're headed for tribulation, the likes of which we have never seen before. And I don't believe that the church, the body of Christ, I don't care where they stand on their eschatology, I don't think the American Christian is prepared for what's coming. What do you think about the average American Christian and their mentality for the influx of demonism that's taking place?
Let me say this, Joel, about the rapture and those kinds of things. All we're talking about is an element of timing here. Because right, I certainly agree that Christ is coming back, and it's just a matter of timing. My understanding is, and I know many people may differ with me on this, I used to teach the pre-tribulation rapture in Bible classes years ago, and I just, over time, I just came to the conclusion that it's going to be more, when Christ comes back, it's going to be before the bowls or vials are poured out in Revelation 16. So we're talking about just a matter of timing.
Sure.
That's not something to disagree with or to separate from.
And, right.
Yeah.
And hence you being on the show. Right, right.
Right.
I want to stress that, because that's what I'm going to say, and that's what I'm saying. And I know a lot of our Soul Trap listeners, I would say probably 95% of them are pre-tribulational rapturist, and I agree with that. I think what I'm getting at is that we've discounted some of the things that your side have said, and what we've implied is, hey, we're going to get out of here. And the fact of the matter is, like you said, no matter what the timing is, rough storms are coming real soon.
I don't think the average Christian understands what is coming. I made some notes, and I sent those to you the other day. And one of the things I wrote on here is rapture timing. It says, prepare for the pre-tribulation rapture, but be ready to accept suffering and persecution.
Yes.
I think that a lot of Christians have in their mind, now we're talking about American Christians now.
Mm-hmm.
American Christians have in their mind that they're not going to suffer, and that they're just going to be raptured out of here, and then God's going to turn the world over to the beast and all the other things that happen at that point.
Yeah.
We have millions of brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who are dying. They're in tribulation now.
Yeah.
And so what we may be seeing is go ahead and prepare for the pre-tribulation rapture, but understand that before Christ comes back, because we do not know that day or the hour, that you may experience suffering, you may experience persecution. And that's the reason I'm so concerned about that, Joel, is because that people may start to lose their faith.
Yes.
If they see things coming on the earth and Christ hasn't returned yet, that their faith may get shaky at that point. We need to just look at these other things and just consider them. Also, one of the things I wrote down here, and I hope you don't mind if I just read this.
No, go ahead.
It says, consider that you may see alarming and troubling things that may cause you to doubt your faith and the truthfulness of the Bible. And what we mean by that are supernatural things, not only persecution from human persecutors, but you may also see an increase in occult supernatural activity. All those things that we just talked about earlier, that brings occult supernatural activity out to the forefront.
Okay,
and
Go ahead.
I think that we're going to, as time moves forward, we're going to see a little bit more of that. You see it right now. Missionaries see it in third world countries, for instance, in different ways. We don't see it so much here. It's a little bit more subtle. People kind of keep things a little bit more hidden. But I think we're about to see an increase in that kind of activity.
Yeah. Well, and the reason I almost jumped in is because it was so interesting you said that. The staff was just in the office a few minutes ago talking about the idea that the angels, the sons of God, we have this assumption when we read Revelation chapter number 3, under the angel of the church at Ephesus, under the angel of the church at Smyrna, Thyatira, Philadelphia, Laodicea, we have often been told that that angel means messenger. And I understand that. It certainly can. But when the Bible wants to use the word messenger, it uses the word messenger. Angel is an angel from cover to cover. And I believe that those angels are exactly what they are. They are angels. And it's interesting to me that Paul, a end-time apostle, speaks a great deal more about angels than we realize. For instance, we're warned about not intruding into angels and some of those things in the book of Colossians. Colossians is the only epistle that mentions Laodicea, an end-time church. He also mentions it in 1 Corinthians, talking about women and angels. He also mentions it in the book of Ephesians, how that the church is actually something that the principalities look into, the angels desire to look into. He talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, that we will judge angels. And one of the most interesting things is in Galatians, he says, though I or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, let him be accursed. We've almost treated that as if it's hyperbolic, it's hyperbole. He's just using a real wide example. But what if he's not? What if it is an actual warning to Christians that there may be a time when angels arrive and they are perverting the gospel and you're going to have to stand? What would you do then? So the question then comes right back to what you were saying, Mr. Wingo. What would happen to the average Christian in mainstream Christianity if these angels showed up from outer space and they said, listen, we understand what you think you understand about the gospel, but here's the real gospel of human unity. Here's the real gospel of human peace. How many of our Christian brothers and sisters would just buckle under the pressure because they have no biblical understanding of an ultra-dimensional world, and they would just buckle and go, well, I guess I missed it. I wonder how much that warning of Paul is going to apply to us before this whole thing is over.
You know, Joel, it's interesting that you bring that up, because Paul did talk about even if an angel from heaven. Now, when these beings manifest, they're not going to look like what people would think angels are.
Right.
But
right.
Not only are we given that warning in Scripture and Paul's writings, I believe Paul brought to the forefront something that Moses wrote in Deuteronomy 13 and in Deuteronomy 18. And just a synopsis of what that says is that when you go into the land, a guy, Moses talking to the Israelites, you're going to see these other gods, okay? But these other gods are, they're real, and you're going to see them, but they're going to take you away from the biblical God.
Yes.
And what we're going to see is a lot of people abandon, I think, that really aren't born again anyways,
yeah,
they're going
to
abandon the Christian faith because they're going to go after these other gods. We've been warned by Paul, and we've been warned by Moses, that when you see these new gods, when these strange gods, as the Bible sometimes says, newly come up, when these new gods come here, they're going to have real spiritual power, and people are going to abandon their faith in the Bible. After all, who are you going to believe at that point? The God of the Bible, who requires faith and belief in his word? Or are you going to believe an alien being stands in front of you who could do miracles?
And you know,
what are signs and wonders?
Yeah, right. One of the things I think that's very interesting is you use that little term, newly come up. When the witch at Endor was talking to Saul, she said, I see gods ascending. You know, a lot of times we tend to think that these beings have come from the stars, and I do think there is a supernatural, he's the prince of the powers of the air. But I've often wondered too, we know that there is a spiritual dimensional world within the earth. It is not the way science exactly says that it is. And I've often wondered, some of the most vivid now pictures and videos that we're getting of UFOs are coming over water. They're coming over ocean. And of course, that's very interesting when you think of the connection between our universe and the throne, the Sea of God. I'm often wondering, you know, if they're going to be, how much they're coming from inner earth, what the connection is going to be. But you're exactly right. I just don't think the average modern Christian understands that they're not getting out of this thing without going through some real, real dark times. And Jesus seemed to say, well, he didn't seem to say it, he said it, talking in Matthew 24, that the deception can be so strong that it could even deceive the elect.
Right.
Now, that's a profound statement. That is, I don't care what your eschatology is, whether you're pre-trib, you're mid, it doesn't matter. The fact that Jesus said that the deception could be so strong that it could deceive the very elect, that ought to humble all of us, and maybe less mega church building and more Bible study, because if it could be that deceptive, then we have no other option but to bury ourselves in a sense in the Word of God, because that's the only way we're going to get any truth.
In the future, Joel, you're going to have to hold on to your Bible tightly, and you're going to have to know that word, and you're going to have to read that word. What if, for instance, NASA has a new spacecraft that landed on Mars here a few weeks ago, mm-hmm. With a drone helicopter that they're toying with now flying? What happens, and this is just a what happens if they discover an ancient alien artifact and reveal that? Mm-hmm. How are people mm-hmm. going to handle that?
Right.
And you're going to say, at one time, there was an ancient civilization on Mars. Right there, everybody's been indoctrinated into the theory of evolution.
Yes.
And that's what they're going to defer to, the theory of evolution. They'll say, why should we believe the Bible? Look, evolution's been proved. This artifact is millions of years old, so they'll say.
Yes.
Something like that. What are we going to do with a deception like that? And the reason why I say deception is, it's possible, and I'm speculating here, it's possible that something somewhere, either on Mars or the moon or Earth, may have been pre-planted by fallen angels mm-hmm. in the past, so that at a certain point in time, they can reveal this thing and say, see, we have been here, we were here thousands of years ago.
Right.
And that's going to throw the faith. I think the average Christian, especially the average American Christian, underestimates the power of this deception.
Yes.
When it manifests, you are going to, it's going to be a tug of war between your faith and what you see and hear.
Yeah. And it's interesting too, because I think that the battle will be with mainstream Christianity. I mean, our mainstream leaders right now, whether it be the Presbyterian, the Methodist, the Lutheran, the Southern Baptist, it doesn't matter. There is an apostasy going on at breakneck speed. And they're not even able to handle the quote unquote LGBT, whatever other alphabet you want to put in there, all of those.
Excuse me, it's ma'am. It is ma'am.
They don't even know how to address that. So like you said, much less if something happened that shook up their worldview, they would buy it lock, stock, and barrel. And it's very fascinating that I believe there is still to be a connection between the Catholic Church, the Pope, and this childhood's end-like revelation that's going to happen. Somehow, some way, whatever that artifact is that might be, and I think that's an ingenious way of looking at it, however it's going to develop, it's going to connect both the man of sin and that false prophet together, that will link them together and bring them both worship and military power. So, I mean, mainstream Christianity, it's going to really put us in a remnant situation. We think we're in the remnant situation now, but it is going to clean house real quick, and there's just going to be a lot of falling away. I don't know any other way to put it, just a lot of falling away, because people are going to be totally turned upside down.
Well, just think about it this way, Joel. For 1,500 years, the Roman Catholic Church has acted as a mediator between God and man.
Yeah.
And of course, we know the Bible says in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. So
yes.
Jesus Christ is the only mediator between God and man. However, because Rome has so deftly played its cards over the years, and it is so intertwined in every institution around the world, I think that they will play a mediatory role between humanity and these aliens and these gods that are going to come down here. When I say gods, I mean little g god,
right,
as in the fallen angel. And they are going to play this role And I believe, and this is in my book, Alien Antichrist, that I don't know whether it's Francis or somebody in way in the future, because I have no idea what the timeline is here, but a pope will bring humanity and these aliens together.
Yes.
In mutual respect and understanding, of course.
Right. I agree. Mutual respect and understanding, so long as you take the mark. Otherwise, right. The mutual respect and understanding goes out the window. Okay, so We've covered a lot of material. Let me just throw the ball in your court a little bit more and say, okay, what do you see? What concerns you as we move towards the end of this discussion? What concerns you? What are you thinking about? What's the message that you want to see? Just your burden, your heart. Unburden yourself.
I just want people to understand the power of the deception that they're going to face. I'll give you another, for instance, and this is something that has disturbed me for nearly a year. When you go into a place, I was just a couple of weeks ago into a doctor's office and into a dentist office. The first thing they do is put something to my forehead and scan my forehead when I walk in the door.
Right.
The mark of the beast is something in your forehead or in your hand, is what the biblical text tells us.
Right.
And I often wonder, is that a preparation, a conditioning to condition us to be prepared to face what's coming, to face this incident that's coming in the future called the Mark of the Beast. Look at what they're doing with COVID right now. And we know all the tyranny and the draconian rules that a lot of states have endured, especially New York and California and several other of the more Democrat-run states, that they have clamped down on people. They have taken their rights away. And now they're talking about this vaccine that you're going to have to have a vaccine passport just to travel.
Right.
Okay. All right. Some employers, the government came out, government spokesman came out and says, we're not going to make you take the vaccine.
Right.
Isn't that nice of them?
Yes.
But your employer is.
Yeah.
Your employer is going to mandate, and that's already happening. There's already people losing their jobs because they refuse to get these mRNA vaccines. And Joel, the danger here is that you can't buy or sell at some point with the mark of the beast. You're not going to be able to do that unless you have this mark. We're already moving that way with this COVID issue going on now, that you're going to have these passports to show, yes, I've been vaccinated, now I could come into the grocery store, I've been vaccinated so I can go to work. And if you don't have this vaccine, what do you think is going to happen if something else happens and they mandate this thing so that you have to get this, or you're not going to be able to work, you're not going to be able to participate in the economic system?
I agree. And I tell you what I think may be coming. I don't know if it will come before full disclosure or prior. I tell you, we may be seeing a financial reset which crashes old line hard currency so that it literally all becomes a global cryptocurrency. So that the government themselves, you know, there's a lot of people investing in new cryptocurrency, but that's all privately held. But if the government say, you know what, if there's a crash and they go into a cryptocurrency, that means that if there's no longer any hard cash, whether it's a dollar bill or a gold coin, if there's not something physical and it's all numbers in an account, that gives whoever holds the numbers absolute total ability over your livelihood. In other words, you can no longer say, and that's why I think a lot of people are going to be up a creek. They say, well, I'm getting gold and silver. If it's cryptocurrency and it's issued and you go down to Walmart and they don't take currency, if you don't have it in your digital account, it's irrelevant how much gold you have. I mean, there may be a small black market, but I think from what you said, the mark of the beast to the cryptocurrency to several different things coming along the line, all the pieces are being put in place for that final push. And I think you can see that, especially then when you look at what's going on with war brewing over there with China, Taiwan, Russia on the Crimean border, a lot of things being put in place. And again, though, like you said, the delusion, the great delusion, the blindness that has settled in over people is just stunning, especially in the Christian world.
Yes, I think we see it right now because people don't understand what's coming. I don't mean this to sound wrong about any pastor. I know a lot of pastors out there are hardworking men, but a lot of them aren't helping their congregation understand what's coming. And I said to a friend of mine a year ago, I said, I believe that we are going to be going to a digital currency very soon. And here we are. We're almost there, Joel.
Oh, yeah.
It's not very far in the future.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, China is experimenting with a system right now. And if they go into this digital currency, in order to survive financially, the United States is going to have to do the same, because actually the dollar is the medium of trade all across the world. We're going to have to do this, almost going to have to move that way. And what are they going to do with somebody like yourself or me or somebody else? You say something that the government doesn't like, they can shut you off. They shut off your digital currency. They shut off your bank account. They shut off your vaccine passport.
Yep.
Your life is canceled. You talk about cancel culture.
Yeah.
Your life will be canceled at that point, and they can use that and hang that over your head. And I believe that's where we're moving to.
I think you're exactly right.
Yes. A lot of people are getting used to government money. They're getting used to a government check coming in the mail.
Yeah.
And it's softening them up. It's conditioning people out there to start to accept these things.
It is. A friend of mine just today, we were talking, said, listen, there was a company, I can't remember. Maybe it was Kevin and I. Kevin, do you remember we were talking about the business that couldn't open up? Taco Bell. Taco Bell couldn't open up in the morning because the morning crew just decided they didn't need to come in. They already had money, enough money. There's just no reason to come in. So they're being given money by the government. And then, like you said, the cryptocurrency, the grid is there. We are there. And I think it behooves us as Christians. We're not trying to beat a dead horse, but I think we need to be reminded over and over and over. This is real. This is coming. And of all people, Christians should be aware. Let me ask you this last question, and I guess this is just more of a personal question, but we know the alien Antichrist. How far away are we from the next book? What do you have on the stove? You don't have to go into details, but how far away are we, do you think, from the next release?
Joel, with this book I've been working on, I've faced every stumbling block in the world that you could possibly face, but I'm not giving up. This is a burden on my heart. Every time I think about this, I think about the prophets in the Old Testament. I certainly don't consider myself anywhere near that, but they talked about the burden of the Lord.
Yes.
And I feel that this is a burden that Christians need to know, the power of the strong delusion and what is coming. I've got an entire summer coming up here, and I'm hoping by the time that summer is done, that I can present this book to a printer, and I can have this out sometime in the fall. I might be wrong, but that's my hope. And that book, it is also my hope, will minister to the church, will minister to real true Bible believers, because they need to understand this is not a game. This has eternal consequences, what is coming.
Yes.
And this has eternal consequences for every one of us. And the Bible tells us to be prepared. We are not children of the darkness. Paul said we're children of the light, and we need to be sober and in our right mind and in a sound mind to understand what is coming.
Yes.
The Bible says, it talks about the children of Issachar, the sons of Issachar. They understood the times, and they knew what was coming.
Yes.
And if you read that verse in its context, it was a political understanding. They understood politically what they needed to do for Israel to survive into the future. And I think as Christians, we need to hold this Bible tightly, and we need to understand what is coming in the future and believe the Bible. Hold to the Bible. When you see troubling things coming in the world that may shake your faith, reaffirm your faith in the Bible and with other Bible-believing Christians.
Yes.
Because you will see disturbing and troubling things coming in the future.
Well, Mr. Wingo, I can't think of a better way to end it. I have nothing but to say, but amen and amen, exactly right. Thank you so very much for being with us. Once again, it was an hour that went by. It was a great discussion. I feel like I could sit here and talk for another 2 hours, but we know that you're busy, and we want you getting back to your writing as much as you can, as quickly as you can. Let me encourage everybody to make sure to go Amazon.com, or you can find this. Make sure you get Alien Antichrist. There's maybe a few things, one or two things in here that you disagree with, I'll promise you there is a whole lot more that you're going to agree with. Make sure you get it. Get it. You say, I've read it, then get it for somebody else. We need to get the truth out. Get your Bible open. Get these kind of good books. Make sure that you do that. Keep Mr. Wingo in your prayers for this new book that he's working on. We'd love to see that come out by the end of summer or fall. And once again, it was an honor to have him with us. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, it is very important that you and I be living in light of the coming of the Lord. The days are short, the battles are getting stronger, and the delusion is growing. And as he said, it is ever important that you and I be locked into the Word of God. Let God be true, but every man a liar. Thanks for tuning in. This is Joel. This is Soul Trap saying we wish you Godspeed and God's best until Jesus comes.
I don't like this one.